You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
I am Josh Felber. Welcome to Making Bank, where we uncover the success strategies and the mindsets of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. I'm super excited. He's so hard to track down for today's guest, Ree Perez. And I want to welcome you to Making Bank, my friend.
Hey, thanks, Josh. I'm excited to be here.
So I know there's only like a small percentage of the world out there that doesn't know who you are, the master branding expert. Kind of give us a little bit of background, who you are and what you do.
Sure. Yeah, thanks for that. So my name is Ree Perez, and about 8 years ago, at the time we're shooting this, I started an agency called Branding for the People. Prior to that, I was working, I had a 25-year career in branding. Prior to the starting my own company, I've worked with some of the top global brand consultancies, helping Fortune 500 brands. And somewhere along the journey, I kind of lost the passion for that, and I wanted to look in a different direction, and it led me to working with brands that were making some sort of economic and social impact.
Sure.
And that led me to entrepreneurs and small business owners, and bringing all the same level Fortune 500 branding to help those people make more money, big impact, all of that, but to completely transform their lives and their businesses.
And so taking all your skills, all your talents that you learn working with the Fortune 500s,
yeah,
and then bring them to the everyday entrepreneur,
yeah,
to do make their business better.
Yes, that's
cool.
It. And the last thing I should say, which I didn't say earlier, is, you know, there's two things, because branding is such an elusive topic, and I'm sure we're going to cover
right. What
branding is. But there's two things. One, we help businesses create memorable and profitable brands. Because if people can't remember you, they can't find you, or they're not
sure.
going to look for you. And that's great if things look pretty, but if it doesn't convert, it doesn't matter. So it's got to be profitable as well.
Definitely. Yeah. No, I'm glad you said that. So maybe let's explain to the audience today then, what is branding to you,
yeah,
and how you and really what that is?
It's a great question, because, you know, it's funny. People ask me, hey, what do you do? I'll say I do branding. And they say, oh, you do marketing. And it's interesting because I just said I do branding. And it's one of those terms that people kind of understand or they don't get it. And so I like to demystify that for people. And let's start with the word brand.
Sure.
You know, brand itself, it's not your logo, it's not your tagline, it's not your website. And these are all valid things to create a brand, but your brand is about creating a desired perception.
Okay.
Brand is a desired perception, and so therefore branding is a process. It's a process for creating that desired perception. So if you hang out with me here just on that definition, if branding is a desired perception, marketing
right. Is
one of several important vehicles to help create that desired perception.
Okay.
So then your logos, your colors, your copy, all of those things are other ways to help create that desired perception. And to take it less philosophical, you think about Harley Davidson. Their business is motorcycles, but their brand, meaning the desired perception, is they believe in freedom on the open road.
Right.
So it's not just about the motorcycles. They're delivering on this promise, this idea, and this perception that they will deliver freedom on the open road. And that's the same line of thinking that Fortune 500 companies do, that big companies do, that entrepreneurs should have, because that's the missing link in the marketing equation.
And that totally makes sense, because, I mean, as you know, entrepreneurs and small business owners and everything, it's like, okay, cool, let's get it out there, let's get our logo,
That's right. Get
this,
yep.
And we're not thinking kind of like, oh, okay, Harley means, you know, freedom on an open road, I mean, they have such a significant culture.
Yep,
and
that's a good point.
They, with the bike, I mean, the bike has that, it's a symbol.
It's a symbol,
that.
It represents a set of values,
right.
Belief systems, way of life. And when you look from that perspective, it's so much more than just a logo. It's a way of being in a way, and it's also a value system that creates community. So I'm glad you brought that
right.
up.
Right. And so I guess what's kind of that first step? So we're entrepreneurs. You know, maybe we already have our logo and we all that stuff done. How do we take a step back and really assess and then, okay, what's that step moving forward that we need to do to start to move that path?
Gotcha. I mean, there's a lot that I can say on this. So,
sure.
But I do want to frame up one thing. So we already talked about brand being a desired perception, and I actually just gave this talk recently, just yesterday. And it's an important thing. and I want people to hear this, is like what I've been really proselytizing a lot about now in terms of branding, particularly in the space of entrepreneurs and small businesses. It's about looking at how can you create and add more brand value. Now, brand value is the monetary worth of your brand. If you think about Microsoft versus Apple,
sure.
Microsoft spends a lot more money in their advertising and marketing to get half the brand value that Apple does.
Right.
So what do I mean by that is that basically you could spend a lot of money in marketing, but when you dial in the branding, you don't have to spend as much because the brand is doing the work for you. So what I like to teach is how do you increase brand value? I look at three things. Looking at being unique or being different. You might be familiar with this term, but what I mean by this is look outside of your industry sometimes. Look outside of your, particularly if you're a service-based professional, sometimes look outside of your industry for inspiration. When people are going in this direction, go in that direction. I'm sure you've all heard that phrase,
right.
But be unique and be different. That's number one. Number two, be relevant. And also a term you might be familiar with, but I'm going to give you my sort of interpretation of being relevant, which is solve people's problems. When you solve people's problems and you impact their life and you have a set of shared values,
sure.
you become someone that you either love or people hate you or they respect you or they completely ignore you. And the way to be the most relevant is focus on making an impact on their life. And then the last thing is to be authentic. And this is a big one for me, and it's probably one of those overused words, but here's what I mean by authentic. People buy from companies, personality brands,
sure.
Services, when they know they're getting the real deal, when it's authentic. It's not a copycat, it's not a Me Too, it's not a charlatan, whatever the term is you want to use. And I'm really passionate about this last piece of it because branding is the future for entrepreneurs. It's not what you're able to make with great marketing, it's what you're not making when you don't have the branding that's authentic, relevant, and unique in the marketplace that can take you further. So that's kind of on a high level, and we'll see if we can add
cool.
to that.
Yeah. No, I think that does clarify a lot because, like you said, we get so caught up in the certain pieces, we miss, what is that meaning? Creating that meaning behind
right.
our brand.
That's right, yeah.
And I think, if we can take a step back and look at that and then figure out, how do we, create that connection?
How to create that? I just talked about this. So I like to simplify things into plain English. So know that there's some fancy branding jargon behind all of what I'm about to teach you. But whether you're an established business, because I've worked with established businesses, or you're just starting out, and maybe you're even bootstrapping it, this applies to both of you, okay? Make sure that you're crystal clear on the who, what, and why.
Right, okay.
Who are your target audiences? And not even from a demographic perspective, like male versus female, 20, 30, from a psychographic perspective, understanding the psychology of the people that you're targeting. Now, you might have been familiar with the term avatars. I'm sure many people have walked you through this exercise. The difference here from a branding perspective is really understanding the buying patterns and behavior of your consumer. So there's a process that we go through in that. But getting clear on your who, which is who are your target audiences, the what, which is what is the problem or the problems that you solve for them? Because every
sure.
business and every brand exists to solve a problem. And the third thing, it's probably the most important of all three, but they all are interrelated, it's why should they listen to you, why should they buy from you, and why should they care about what you have to say? And here I'm gonna unpack that a little bit more. There's, broadly speaking, there's three types of whys.
Okay.
There's either a functional why, which is, you help me to get from point A to point B, right? A bicycle does that, a car does that, Uber does that, helps me get from point A to point B. That's a functional benefit, a functional why.
Right.
There, another type of why is an economic why, and that's measured in terms of time or money. So you either help me make more money, you either help me save money, or you help me save time, or you optimize my time. So an economic benefit is measured in terms of time or money. I work with a lot of coaches and experts and sometimes in business coaches, and part of the value proposition is they help their clients make more money or help them save time, like
sure.
getting to success faster. Okay, but the third one, and this is probably the most powerful of all three, is the emotional benefit and the emotional why.
Right.
And I'm sure we all know the phrase, like, people don't remember what you do to them, they remember how you make them feel. And so the emotional benefit, when you get into the emotional why people should buy from you, follow you, or connect with you, that's the game changer. Because as human beings, we buy based on emotion.
Sure.
In fact, 95% of all purchasing decisions, according to Harvard Business Review, is made in the subconscious. And more specifically, in my view, it's the emotional component of why we buy things. Now, we use logic and reason to validate our emotional buy, but when you can create a why someone should buy your products or programs or services that hits them on an emotional level, that's where the game changes for you. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just like we mentioned Apple and Microsoft earlier.
Yes.
Apple has that emotional connection. People,
that's right.
I want to be that person. Yeah. And they think that having the iPhone, the Mac,
right,
creates that emotion in them.
That's right. I mean, listen, you could say in some aspects that Apple has an inferior technology product than some other, but people, present company included, are loyal, raving advocates of the Apple brand. So, you know, it's beyond even just the quality of service. In fact, I asked an audience just yesterday, you might notice that there's some people out there that that have shitty products and services and they're crushing it in business. Or there's some people out there that are struggling, but they have great products and services. They're probably great people and they're struggling. And the difference is not whether or not they're good at what they do, the difference is the quality and the effectiveness of their branding and their marketing.
Right. And so with what you're saying then too is we can still put out all this marketing, but if the brand itself is not dialed in, we may be losing a big chunk of customers and everything else.
Well said. That's exactly how I would say it too. I've worked with a lot of marketers and business owners who mastered the marketing game. It's not what you're able to make with great marketing, it's what you're not making
mm-hmm.
with the branding dialed in with your marketing. So the good news is if you're making money with great marketing
right.
and sales, great job. You passed the proof of concept phase, you've built some momentum and some traction, and you clearly have something of value that's impacting the market. It's, I think the particularly when clients work with us, or if they don't work with us and they go through the branding process, the thing that changes the game for them is that when you dial in the brand, the perception that you want to own, getting clear on who you're targeting, the problem you're solving for them, why they should buy from you, and putting that, like all chips in, this is our positioning in our marketplace, that's where people are able to see new results in their marketing.
Sure.
They're able to charge more or charge the full value of their services, or they're able to expand into other business areas where maybe the brand might have been known for one thing, and now the brand is kind of expanded to be known for a broader umbrella, a broader container. So there's so many possibilities with branding, but I want to leave people with that as an option, that it's more than just making money. It's about creating a bigger container that you can make a bigger impact and make more money.
Sure.
Because we all know that money itself is not important, but it touches everything is that it's important to us.
Right. I mean, what you can do with it, how you can help.
That's right. That's right.
And one of the things you mentioned that was interesting is, you know, tying in the mission.
Yes.
So as part
yes.
of your brand with so many mission-driven focus
yep.
and all that. Do you have a kind of like a test or a questionnaire you kind of take people through to say, cool, is my brand on point? Is it, you know,
yes.
is it dialed in with really what our mission is and all that?
Yeah, I do. Well, I like to call them, whether it's a test or it's a criteria.
Criteria, sure.
There's three different filters or criteria that I look for when I think about your mission or your purpose or even just the positioning of your brand. There's three broad criteria. One, it's got to be something that's credible, meaning it's got to be something that you can own. Because if you can't own this perception, then it comes across as inauthentic, right? So it's got to be something that's
yeah.
credible. The second test or filter or criteria is that it's got to be something that is unique or differentiating in the marketplace. here's where you look at the competitive landscape. What makes you unique and different in the marketplace that vis-a-vis all the other people, the thousands of people that do exactly what you do or offer the same product, types of products or programs or services, or that solve the same problem, right? There are people who can solve the problem called lose weight, and there's different people that can solve that problem in different ways. So it's got to be something unique, and it's got to have an angle and a position and a point of view. And then the third test and filter is it's got to be something that is relevant, meaning it's got to be something that is meaningful to your target audiences. So when you think about that, it's like, does your brand or does your position, is it something, can you own it? Is it unique in the marketplace? And is it relevant? Do your target audiences care about it?
And so then based on that, I mean, should you go in and say, okay, it can almost reverse engineer it?
Yes.
So this is our target audience.
Yes.
And then this was what they find meaningful. And then we match up or bring our brand to that?
Great question. It's a combination of that.
Okay.
Because I think in terms of visuals, and if I had a visual here, what I would show you is a Venn diagram where you kind of see three circles together. Consultants love Venn diagrams. where you see three circles together. It's the intersection of all three of those things.
Okay.
Credibility, unique, and differentiation, and relevancy. It's the intersection of that is where you want to best position your brand. So now you could reverse engineer it and figure out, okay, well, let's look at our target audiences and let's figure out how can we dial in specifically to that audience and build a brand to appeal to that. You can absolutely do that. The reason I would say that is because branding is nonlinear. It's a nonlinear. Now we create a linear process for people to go through it because we like to see step by step and how things work. But the truth of the matter is that branding is a non-linear process. And so you can absolutely reverse engineer it. And why that's also valuable is because that's an outside-in, market-driven approach. Because remember, no one really cares about what you sell, what you make, and what you do. They care about the value that you're bringing to their lives. And if you reverse engineer from that perspective, how can I impact this person's life? You'll make a lot more money. The only caveat, the reason why I say that is that let's just make sure it's something that you can own. Let's make sure it's something that you want to do. You know, listen, there's lots of entrepreneurs, lots of businesses, and a lot of them don't pass the five-year mark because they're either just chasing the money or they're not fully passionate about it. So make sure that whatever you do is something that you can own and you're willing to hustle and do whatever it takes to get that out there, because there's ups and downs of growing a business.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a business coach, but having built a business now for 8 years, there's some good parts of it and there's some challenging parts, but just make sure it's something that you can own at the same time that you're delivering value for people.
Cool. No, that's awesome. So I want to kind of, we got a little bit of time left. I would like to kind of maybe dive in a couple tactics that you see that we can really take action on with today.
So on a tactical, so I'm a big picture thinker and I teach a lot of strategy and sort of like a lot of principles in terms of your branding, but because that's the first part.
Sure.
In terms of just even approaching branding from a Fortune 500 level. You know, tactically speaking, what would be of most value? Like websites?
I would say, we have a lot more people starting to shoot video content.
Okay.
And that's kind of where a lot of the marketing is heading on Facebook and everything else. So maybe let's take a look at that and see how they
from
can
from a video approach.
That.
You know, I'm not a video expert, but a lot of the work that we do informs videos. You know, there's different types of videos, right? There's promotional videos, and maybe you have a perspective as well. But in my mind, there's, broadly speaking, there's three types of videos. There's promotional videos, positioning videos, and educational videos. Mm-hmm. So understand, on a tactical level, figure out what is a primary communication objective for that video. Is it to, think about the end game. Like, what's the call to action, what you want people to do? And then using the same definition that I said about desired perception is, how do you need to come across? How do you need to be perceived in that particular communication vehicle? I say two things. One, don't compromise on quality. There is a value of shooting a Facebook Live or a video where it looks natural and you're outside. There's a there's a benefit of that because you look approachable. At the same time, make sure it's well lit. Make sure that people want to see it. So don't compromise on the quality of your videos or your photos for that matter. Two, sometimes less is more. That can come across in different things. What you say, how you say it, when you're speaking. Sometimes less is more. It could even come across in terms of the length of your videos. We don't have the time, unfortunately, to watch a 20-30 minute video. Unless it's super entertaining and engaging, we'll probably sit there and watch that.
Right.
But think about your target audiences and make sure that it's sometimes less is more. And then in terms of, so that's a visual component, sort of a positioning component. And I think the other part in terms of video is, in my mind, rather than having the video talk all about you, talk about what's in it for the person listening. Unless you're doing a highly entertaining video, think about your target audience in mind and figure out how you can add value to them, to him or her, but to them through that video. So probably more strategic in nature, cool. But I don't know anything about production of videos, but I hope that helps from a branding perspective.
And what have you seen with that, whether it's photos or video, whatever it may be, that key piece that really makes the brand shine with that? It's kind of bringing all those core components together.
It is bringing
into
those
video.
Core components. So, I mean, listen, I'm like everyone else. You know, you're scrolling or watching videos, and it's like some people really should not be shooting videos. They shouldn't. And I just say that frankly. It's like, listen, if you're going to do it, do it. I'm a big advocate of this, and maybe not everyone agrees with me, but listen, if you're out there proselytizing, communicating with the world, make sure that you're communicating to a specific person. Mm. Not this video is for everyone.
Sure.
Make sure you're talking to a specific audience and as if you're talking directly to them. And show up. Be your best self. That's just my point of view. Don't show up and slack a half-ass it. We don't have enough time. So show up and bring your A game in every opportunity, because here's the deal. I talked about brand being a desired perception. I also said that 95% of all purchasing decisions is made in the subconscious. People are making a judgment and a perception of you in their subconscious, and if something is not exactly right, they're debating whether or not they should follow you, you listen to you, or buy from you. They might not be able to put language to it, but it's living in their subconscious. And if you want to increase your conversions, if you want to have more impact and help more people, then focusing on everything I just mentioned to you today.
Awesome. Tell us a little about where we can find more about you, you know, what you do, how we can get involved with you if they want to take action.
I'm a big approach. There's tons of free content, resources, case studies, cool videos on our website, which is just Branding for the People, and that's branding FOR, not the number four, brandingforthepeople.com. If you also put a hashtag and then type in resources, so brandingforthepeople.com/resources, there's a lot of great free resources that you can download. And if you are going to download those, be one of those people that actually reads it. Don't just leave it on your desktop. Anywhere from our branding blueprint, we give it away, to how to name your company products or services, which is a big one, how to create a perfect landing page if you're creating websites, different resources that you can apply into your business that even if it's that 1% shift on how you're currently approaching branding, we'd be happy to deliver those to you. So brandingforthepeople.com.
Awesome. Ray, it was amazing having you on the show today. Guys, I hope you're taking a ton of notes. And really rewind, whether you're listening to this, whether you're watching it on video, rewind, jot that down. There's a ton of great insights to help you move your brand and what you're doing to the next level. So again, an honor to have you on the show today. I really appreciate it, my friend. Thanks for coming on Making Bank.
All right, cool. Thank you.
I am Josh Felber. You've been watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, SuccessThinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.